Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Good evening, Guts. What's going on? Let's welcome everybody watching online. You want to? It kind of weirds me out how many people watch it online and where they watch from, and I need to pay better attention to that. How about twice in one video, Psalm 92:13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord, actually transplanted, shall flourish in the courts of our God. So let me tell you how this practically works. Okay, we boil it down to just the simplest forms is. The cause and effect, the effect is my finances flourish. My marriage flourishes. My kids flourish. My home flourishes. My vocation, my career, my job, my business, it flourishes. And I'm telling you, but here's this faith that we have. How many of you guys are people of faith? Can I see? But that's kind of a colloquialism now where it's like, you know, we're people of faith or the faith community. Let me tell you, this faith is very practical. It's this. You believe and you speak. If you're not saying it, it's not faith. Okay, I'm going to try that again. When you say, my finances are flourishing, let me just tell you, it doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter how you feel. When you say, my marriage is flourishing, man, my life flourishes. And you know what? Now, all you're doing now is you're aligning yourself with God's power. You're aligning yourself with God's favor. How many of you guys want God's favor in your life? Well, let me just tell you, the Bible talks about that according to the gift that the gifting God's given us. That's what he graces. Well, let me just tell you, I'll be real honest with you. The resources of your life. The Bible says that we are needless people, that God supplies all of our need. Everybody say, all my needs supplied. When you say that, listen, especially in this context, what it does is it activates God's word. See, the written word of God is his logos. The spoken word of God is rhema. That word rhema is where the power is. So when we speak the word, that's why the Bible says, look, preach the word in season and out of season. That isn't just talking to preachers. That's talking to the church. That's talking to us. That you know what you've got to do? You got to speak the word over your money. You got to speak the word over your health. You got to speak the word over your marriage. See, and then over your relationships. Man, you guys that are single in here, man, you speak the word over your future. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. How do you delight yourself? You profess his promise. You believe his promise. You profess his promise. You make sure that his promise is what's coming out of your mouth. Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. If you say, no, I'm really concerned about this next quarter. Well, no duh. I'm not kidding you. There's bad news on the way toward your life right now. The good news is God's going to turn it to good on your behalf. See, here's how this works. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Okay? Now, from the father of lies, and that's interesting, the Bible refers to the devil as the father of lies. From the father of lies now, he's going to throw bad news at you, but it's coming from, he's the father of lies, okay? So it's coming from a lying position. So what is a lie? A lie is something contrary to the truth. So now that bad news, like the good news comes from God, the bad news comes from the enemy. So now the enemy's bad news, before it gets to you, and let me tell you, you might brace yourself and think, oh my gosh, bad news is coming. Man, I've heard that wars and rumors of wars, there's all this stuff that's coming to my life. But you know what? Before it gets to your life, God flips it. And no matter what you think, let me just tell you, God will turn it to good. And what good is something that brings you into communion with God. And who's God? God's love. See, so we understand that. In Acts 4:13, one of my favorite verses is, but when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived them unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. See, if you're like me, you get into situations that are godly situations and you don't feel like you're prepared. You don't feel like you're ready. You don't feel like you're experienced enough or seasoned enough. You don't feel like you could handle, like, I'm not sure if I can handle this situation. Let me tell you what you can handle. You can handle everything that you put, everything that is put in front of you. Why? Because you're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. Man, I don't know if I can handle this, but the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. Let me tell you, I guarantee you Jesus had doubts hanging on that cross that he'd be resurrected. I guarantee you. But he didn't receive those doubts. The enemy threw doubt after doubt after doubt. He was tempted in like manner as you. Man, can you imagine, Jeremy, can you imagine hanging on that cross? You're thinking, man, I'm really hoping this works. I'm hoping this works out well, because it, man, he's hurt and all the things. But you're hanging on that cross, and you know what, Jesus? The devil tempted Jesus to doubt. You know what Jesus said? It's finished. I've completed my work. I've done my work. I've done what I'm supposed to do. And see, and that's kind of the precursor of this message tonight. Yeah, you got to do what you're supposed to do, because God will do what he's supposed to do. God is always faithful. Hey, can I introduce Sandy to you tonight? Sandy, you mind standing? How about Sandy? You know, Sandy's a pro preacher now. She preached 2 weeks in a row, and, oh, Sandy was so good, and, oh, Sandy called me a name that you're not allowed to use in church, and all this stuff. I'm getting ready to speak tonight. And she said, man, do a good job. I said, okay, you're with me. And she goes, yeah, keep it short. Like, dear God, that's all I do is keep it short, isn't it, Taylor? I'm not kidding you. Taylor will text me after the service and said, Dad, man, you had me. Man, I was right there. Man, you could have gone another hour. Isn't that right, Taylor? Little snot. I'm still believing God. You raise them up in the way that they should go. And when they get older, they will not depart. Some of the biggest changes in your life come from the smallest habits that you develop. Biggest changes. You want to talk about relationships. You know, some of you guys that you're not married and you've been through relationships and you're like, I just haven't found the right one. I'll tell you when you find the right one, when you become the right one. I'm just telling you. That's how it works. I mean, it's when you become the right one, I'm telling you, God, the right one happens. And you got to work on yourself and work through that, because let me just tell you, man, the bottom line is God opens doors, and God opens doors that he has prepared us to walk through. Okay, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived them unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Write that down, that they'd been with Jesus, that they'd been with Jesus. In Acts 1:8, the last thing Jesus said before he ascended, he said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the end of the earth. See, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. See, this with God, we want to talk about experiencing God and giving people a God experience. I say we. I don't like talking like that. See, what this isn't an experience that becomes a relationship. This is covenant. And if we're teaching and we're boiling this down to a relationship with God, I'm telling you, I think we miss out on the supernatural of God. Because the relationship has to be compartmentalized then into, okay, is God my friend? Is God my man? The look at this, the understanding that we have here, that the God kind of love, the world, if you're a worldly person, you don't experience the God kind of love in any part of your life until you're about kingdom things, that agape love. Man, most of us are satisfied with phileo love. You know, most of us are satisfied with an eros love, a phileo love. Because, why? Because, man, that fulfills my human needs. But let me just tell you, man, that real need on the inside of you is that agape love, the God kind of love. That everything's about love. Everything's about forgiveness. Everything's about righteousness, peace. Everything is about God's power active in our lives. Man, we think about it. We think about our relationships, and the biggest thing that you can, like, what do you want? I want a happy marriage. It's like, okay, stop it. What you want is a unified marriage. What you want is unity in your relationships. You want unity. And that's not that somebody's a yes man. But let me just tell you, man, the way the kingdom works, there's people that'll say, you know, I asked God to heal me. I asked God to supply my need. And he just said, no. I don't know what God you're talking to. Because the Bible's very clear. God says, I'm not a yes and no God. I am a yes God. And then you translate that into the New Testament that the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes and so be it. Yes and absolutely. He is a yes and absolutely God. See, that's what his promises are. But you've got to believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. That's how we're saved. And that word saved doesn't just mean that we escape hell. It's so much more than that. It's yes that we escape hell, but the more of it now is, now I can proclaim heaven on earth. And it's all in the name of Jesus. And there's basic principles that we can't take for granted. One of which is you don't pray to Jesus. Jesus said, you don't pray to me. You pray the Father in my name. See, the power of Jesus is in that name. Why? Because it gives us the power of attorney with God. It gives us access to everything God's about. I'm telling you, when you say in the name of Jesus, I'm just telling you, every spiritual force in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth takes notice. They're ready. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim health in your body. In the name of Jesus, I call my accounts more than enough. Let me just tell you, and then you look back, and you think, oh my gosh, what? There's still a deficit. No, you know what? You receive it in your heart, you say it with your mouth, you're gonna see it with your eyes. See, we know that God loves us, but I'm not so sure that we know that that God's always on call for us. He's always ready, he stands at the ready. The Bible says that he's constantly mindful of us. Think about God right now, what do you think God's thinking about? God's thinking about you. And you're thinking, man, how can that be? See, we're all worried about what other people think. Man, I'm concerned. The devil wants to tempt me into being concerned about what you think about me tonight. And you know what? None of that matters. Write that down. What people think does not matter. And let me just tell you, they're probably not thinking about you anyway. See, in these services, there's so many times that I'll see people after church, or I'll see people in the next week, or I'll see them out in the parking lot, and people come up to me and goes, oh my gosh, that message changed my life. And I'll think, oh, good. Whew, it's validation. They'll say, oh my gosh. And I'm telling you, that point you made was so powerful. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I humbly receive that. Thank you. He goes, and then they'll tell me the point that I made, and I'll be thinking, that is really strong. I wish I'd have said that. The dynamics is that God's working in your heart right now. See, I'm not just up here telling stories. I tell stories to bring context into your life. But the stories isn't where the power is. The word is where the power is. Man, God speaks. The Bible says that God even takes counsel in his word. God does. Why would God, the creator of the heavens and earth, man, he knows the beginning from the end, and he still takes counsel in his word. The Bible says, put a demand on my promise. Put a demand on me. Though Jesus is the word made flesh, we put a demand on the name of Jesus. It accesses the 7,700 plus promises in God's word. Let me tell you, this is revolutionary. This is transformation in our lives. It doesn't matter what we wear. It doesn't matter where we're from, what our education is. It doesn't matter what the perceived call is on our life. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And that's what matters. See, so what do you face now? What are you dealing with in your life now? Because the Bible says that if you're transplanted in his house, You'll flourish. And let me tell you, you could sit here and amen, and you could sit here and agree, and if you're not speaking God's word, and then proving it. What does God say about the tithe? Man, prove me now in this. I was talking to Waylon tonight. We were talking about the tithe. I said, Waylon, you got to commit to him. Waylon, it's a big deal. He's a young man. He said, okay, I got it. It's not a fundraiser for the church. God says, so there's meat in my house. Yeah, you know what? It resources God's house. But he said, and prove me now in this, man. Try me now in this. Let me prove it to you that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful land. How long has it been since a church has been called a delightful land? Let me tell you, the world, we're thinking the world hates, that people in the world hate us. I think they're just suspect of us. I think they just want this to be real. I think the world's searching right now. I think people in the world are looking right now, and it's like, please tell me something's going to be real. Is this going to be real? Is Sepulpa going to be real? Is Skytook going to be real? Is downtown going to be real? Just tell me it's going to be real. Is it going to be trendy? Oh, well, man, we throw as many young people up here as we can. But let me just tell you, that doesn't, what makes us real is that we believe it and we can speak it and not flinch. And you know what? And we put the expectation of our life in God's promise. What do I expect from you? I expect what you say, to do what you say. It's the same thing about God. I expect him to do what he says he's going to do. And let me just tell you, God's faithful. God has never let us down. The Bible says the righteous have never been forsaken. His seed has never begged bread. Now, we're not righteous because we go to church or because we read his word or because we don't sin or because we confess our sin or because we know how to worship. That doesn't make us righteous. Jesus dying on that cross and us believing that, and Jesus resurrecting from the dead and us believing that, and Jesus ascending into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God, and he's defending us before God. He stands between us and God. That's what makes us righteous. Man, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, whether I feel like it or not. See, that's where the unity has to play in. Man, that there's unity in our relationships. Paul writes in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Listen to this next thing he says, a living sacrifice. See, we want to skip over that. See, I'm kind of preaching to the choir, but I'll put it into play here. This was sacrificial for you to come tonight. You coming to church is a sacrifice of your life. You're going to give an hour or so of your life tonight to being at church, and that's a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. What you give, the money that you gave in the offering, the tithe that you give, is a life sacrifice. You took your time to earn that money, and now you're taking a tenth of what you make, and that's a living sacrifice. And the Bible says this, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. See, do you see how this works? Do you see the stages of the progression here? Do you understand that the things that trip you up, see, for me, it's real easy. There's things that I don't do in my life because that's what God saved me from. See, there's things that we can do that the Bible says that are lawful yet not expedient. And it's not going to cause me to grow closer to God. So you know what? It's what God saved me from. The things that I did before as a Christian is the life of darkness that I had. I don't want to go back to the dark. Is anybody with me on that? See, so you got to determine that. Those are personal, listen, those are personal convictions that you have to have in your own life that come into play for your vision, missions, and values of your life. Man, do you want to be generous or do you want to be ridiculously generous or what do you want to be? However many years ago that Pastor Sandy and I decided that we want to be known, what kind of church, we'd go to these conferences, what kind of church are we? Well, we're an outreach church. Well, what kind of church are we? Well, we're a family church. What kind of church are we? We're a young people's church. Well, what kind of church are we? We're a church that people don't like church. All that stuff, I'm thinking, okay. Man, we're just a generous church. Ridiculously generous. That's who I want to be. Just generous. And how many, when you're dead and gone and somebody says, man, do you know him? Yeah, he was a jerk, but he was generous. Yeah, that guy couldn't sing a lick, but that sucker was generous. See, you look at it, we start attaching generosity to the church. The world's going to look at us and go, dadgum, finally. And this is starting to make sense. This is starting to make sense with me. But the three simple words, a living sacrifice. That's what our lives are now. I'm free. I'm free in Jesus. I can run, jump, and praise God. I can do whatever I want to do. No, you're a living sacrifice. See, with me, I'll just tell you, I answered an altar call at a little frame Assembly God church in June of 1979. And what I did was I said these words, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus Lord of my life. Whatever else I said really didn't matter. I stood in front of this, in front of the platform, and I said, God, I give you my life. I make Jesus the Lord of my life. And it's that simple. If that's what you do tonight, you say, God, I give you my life. Oh, do you really? See, so now I don't own my life. My life's not mine anymore. I'm a steward of my life now. And there's a big difference between ownership and stewardship. I'm a steward of my life. I'm a steward of my finances. I'm a steward of my marriage. I'm a steward of my friendships. I'm a steward of the office I walk in this church. And none of those do I take lightly. Every one of those are the absolutes of my life that I will die on that hill. But then there's a lot of other things. It's like, whether or not you like the music, whether or not the service times fit, whether or not, none of that stuff are absolutes for me. See, but we have to understand that. We have to look at it. We have to get that simple in our life. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, my teaching, my lifestyle, take it upon you. Okay, that's a lot. I got to pick up that cross and follow him. No, he said, my yoke's easy. My teaching's easy. But what does the devil try to do? The devil tries to say, man, you read the Bible, you don't understand it. Man, there's a fellow in the church, a dear friend of mine, said, me and another guy, we're going to read through the Bible in a year. And he read through it in just a few months. But he texted me, he said, I'm at Revelation. I have to talk to you. I said, yeah. Read it again. Because you already read the epistle that Paul wrote that said to open up the eyes of your understanding and enlighten you to the hope of your calling, to the riches and glory of the resurrection, to the glory of your power. Man, open the eyes of my heart. God, but you know what? We glance at it like we're really reading a novel and we say we don't get it. And you know what? God's not saying you don't get it. Matter of fact, what God's word says is it's easy enough for the smallest child to understand. That's how easy it is. Excluding the book of Revelation? No. Let me tell you what the vision that John had, the revelation of Jesus. He was looking ahead at this point. How many of you guys believe the word is alive today? Okay. We have cell phones. We have smartphones today. We have jet airplanes. All of that comes into play in the book of Revelation because mankind was still going to be mankind in that time. But John is seeing all this in a vision, and he's like, dear God, multi-headed dragon, monster, this is crazy. But see, he was seeing things at a spiritual realm. not at a physical realm, not at a worldly, a carnal realm, at a spiritual realm. Man, we look at it that if there weren't things that Paul wrote that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay, I get it, but against, listen, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Man, that's the vision John saw. It aligns with God's word. So wait a second. This is still easy. The burden is light. Oh, it's so burdensome. Let me tell you, all of us, if we do this right, all of us are going to receive persecution. We are. You do it right, because let me tell you, how many of you guys have ever had haters? The haters you have are people that are below you. People that operate in jealousy toward you. People that don't feel like you deserve where you are or what you have. It's never the people above you. See, and you look at this and you're thinking, oh my gosh. But all that is persecution. And just like God is going to put people in your life to reach down and help pull you up, the enemy is going to put people in your life to reach up and try to pull you down. And you've got forces. There's forces that come to play in every relationship of our lives. Every relationship we have. Do those forces lift you or do those forces pull you down? Do those forces lead you ahead or those forces pull you back? See, and in our lives, we have to understand that. We have to be able to recognize that. Listen, this life is easy. This burden is light. See, the teachings of Jesus have to become our life. He said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, he was speaking to people that rabbis had a personal yoke. It was a personal message. Most of you guys that have been to church here for a while, you know I'm very predictable in how I'm going to react. I'm very predictable about what I'm going to say. Man, Sandy can tell you, here's the next point he's probably going to make. A leopard doesn't change its spots. But let me tell you, God's given me a message for mankind, but God's given you a message for mankind as well. And here's how it works. If you're faithful in what's small, God will give you plenty. Another place, if you're faithful for what's small, God will put you before great men. Man, it all's tied into our faithfulness. And what's the very first thing that I said? Big changes come with small habits. Faithfulness, write this down. Faithfulness is a small habit. That's all it is. See, in this sacrifice, this living sacrifice, in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the writer says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us continually offer that. Continually. How many of you guys have you want to complain? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys want to talk about people? You'll see your hands. No, let it continually come out of our lives. Let us offer a sacrifice of praise. Let it praise. Let it continually come out of our lives. But don't forget to do good and to share. See, our lives aren't going to be about good production, about a sharing lifestyle, man, unless that sacrifice of praise is upon our lives. And God, and the Bible says, of these sacrifices, God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you. And be submissive. This is talking about in the church. This is awkward for the guy on the stage with the title. But because then it goes, because I'm not thinking about the whole authority and submission to authority angle of it. I'm thinking about the B side of that verse. And what is that? For they watch out for your souls. Now listen, as those who must give account. You know, my buddy Waylon back there, I talked to him before church, gave him a hard time, roughed him up a little bit, introduced him to Keenan. Said, here, Keenan's going to call you. You're going to start serving in here. He said, okay. He knows the right thing to say to me. But you know what? What he's not thinking about, what I am thinking about, is I'm going to have to stand before God. Not about what he does, not about the decisions he makes, but about how he thinks. Man, if you know what to do and know what's right and don't do it, that's on you. But I'll be real honest with you. If you don't know what to do and don't know what's right, that's on the authority that God put in your life. That's why parenting, that's why so many people come into church with such deep daddy issues. I remember I was on a Harley ride and I met my real dad a few years ago. He passed away shortly after that. The only time I ever talked to him, I'm in my 50s. I was on my Harley riding through St. Louis and I stopped and got a cup of coffee and called Sandy. Well, how was it? It was good. I was there 20 minutes, made small talk. I confronted him about knowing Jesus. He convinced me that he did, that Jesus was Lord of his life. I was good. That was good enough for me. Well, Bill, what else? And I said, it's weird. There's nothing else. So I don't know if that's some repressed daddy issue that I couldn't access, or there wasn't one. But the weirdest thing about it is it didn't affect my soul. It wasn't emotionally weird for me. And after I talked to Sandy, I got back on my Harley and I was going to go meet with Jeff Perry or David Meyer had both those meetings. I'm not sure which ones were. And I'm on my Harley rolling through St. Louis and I'm just thinking, it's pretty cool that I'm not emotional about this. See, Jesus, let me just tell you, in all these matters, that garment of praise, the fruit of your lips being that praise, that you put on that sacrifice of praise. Man, I referred to the garment of praise. Some of you guys that have a spirit of heaviness that comes on your life, don't raise your hands, but how many of you guys have to deal with the occasional spirit of heaviness? The Bible says put on a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You're like, man, I don't know how to do it. Yes, you do. Here's how you do it. God, I praise you. God, I give you all my praise. God, I thank you that the fruit of my lips is going to honor you. So I'm going to praise you right now, no matter how I feel. What I'm doing, you might think, well, your tone of voice. God just appreciates those words. The Bible says your words have power. The power of life and death is in your tongue. With godly authority comes accountability. Man, I'm accountable to give the truth. And we don't take it lightly. Pastor Sandy doesn't take this lightly. Man, I'll talk to Scott Houston. It's like, just preach the truth. Man, I know people suffer through things. I know people go through things. We've got to preach the victory. Even though it seems like we're in a tunnel with no light at the end of it. And I'm great with it because the truth is that liberating and that freeing and that powerful. See, this life can't be one of those do as I say, not as I do things. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Meditate on these things. We have to be the examples. Examples of overcoming. Examples of beating the odds. Examples of forgiving and forgiveness, massive forgiveness. Examples of going the extra mile. I think that's a lost art. We have to go the extra mile. We're Christians. And then it gets us a few verses more in Philippians 4, where Paul just said, look, no matter whether I, he said, whether I base or abound, whether I've got more than enough or I've got barely enough, he said, I'm great with whatever because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you guys say that with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, whether I abase or abound, whether I've got way more than enough or just barely enough, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am content because Jesus is Lord of my life.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.